Good morning, everyone, and welcome to FYI. We are Plant-Based OKC here on this fourth Tuesday of the month. I am Andrea Conway. I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jimmy Conway.
Hello, everyone.
And our good friend and plant-based evangelist, Randy Titone.
I'm here in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen.
He's with us everywhere we go.
He's warmed up, stretched, ready to go.
He's ready.
You can't go on the radio unless you stretch.
That's right.
And you do it very well.
Yeah.
Very, very well.
Yeah.
We're so happy to be here today, and hopefully we can enlighten your thinking as it relates to healthy eating, as we're always here to discuss. If you don't know who we are, we have formed a little community that we call Plant-Based OKC.
That'd be a Moai.
Oh, yes. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from the Ikigai.
That's
we
exactly
are
right.
Our own Moai.
That's exactly right.
We have a website, plantbasedokc.com, where it can give you some information about who we are and events that we have coming up. But some of the things we do are a monthly seminar at Community Hospital, which is in Southwest Oklahoma City. And you can get information on the website there. But the seminars are free of charge. We hold those once a month. It's a different day of the month, so you do have to check the website for dates. And then you have to email for a reservation, even though it's free. We do have limited seating, and I cook a plant-based meal, so we do have to have a head count. But you can get on there and reserve a seat for that. And then we are at Rococo Restaurant in North Park Mall on the first Monday of every month, with the exception of this coming month in July, as we will be at the beach.
At the beach.
At the beach.
Well, let me just tell you something.
And Randy doesn't really like to hold the fort down all by himself.
It's too much for me to carry.
Yeah. So we will be gone in July, but we will be back the first Monday of August, which is August 6th. In that meeting, you call Rococo Restaurant for a reservation. We have a private room there where we've had up to 80 people in that room. And it's really more of a support group meeting. We're there to just talk about what we do and answer your questions and talk about cooking. And Rococo provides us a plant-based menu, so you do have to buy dinner if you want to eat from them. But
you don't have to buy dinner to be there, though.
No, but Rococo would prefer that people that make reservations and come.
Don't just come and hang out.
Yeah, they're not. So we do want to encourage that. But we don't charge for you to attend our meeting, for sure. We're there to hopefully inspire and keep people motivated. I think that's why we started, is because, you know, people came to our seminars and they were interested and they were gung-ho to, you know, take their knowledge home with them and get started. But sometimes they got home and just didn't really know what to do and had a lot of questions about cooking and just random things. And so we started the support group meeting, and we do have a lot of regular people that come back each month to talk and ask questions and talk to other people around them and tell their stories, which is wonderful, because we have a girl who just recently, that's been following us now for about 6 months, and she had full-blown lupus and Hashimoto's when she started. Now, 6 months later, her blood work came back showing no lupus and no Hashimoto's. Her doctors are pretty impressed with the progress and what she's done. And she was able to share that story on Monday night at Rococo with some other people there that had never been there before. And I think that she made quite an impression. So it's good to have that meeting. So check us out.
Everybody has a story, too.
That's exactly right. And for those of you all who are unfamiliar, when we talked about a Moai is a Japanese word which translates to meeting for a common purpose.
Well, that's absolutely what
absolutely
we are.
Right. That, and if you want to come to Rococo, the number to call for a reservation is 212-4577.
And you can be a part of our Moai.
That's exactly right.
And then we have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, and they're both called Plant-Based OKC, and I try to post a lot of recipes and information and So today I want to get started. There was a couple questions posted on our Facebook page about our, we always let people know we're going to be on the radio show, and if they have any questions, to jot them down there in the comments and we'll address them. But we'll do those in just 1 second, but I want to let everyone know we have a guest calling in today that I think is going to be very informative and exciting to have someone regarding prostate cancer. And so just stay tuned with us because he should be calling in shortly. So on our Facebook page, we got a couple questions that I answered on the Facebook, but I thought I'd go ahead and address them here on air as well. The first question was, how about fried tofu? Well, while we do eat tofu, not every day for sure, but on occasion, I do like tofu and we do eat it. We do not deep fry it. So I don't know if that was exactly his question, but I wouldn't say that we eat fried tofu. So we like to oven fry our tofu. And that's just what I usually do is take, if you're familiar with tofu at all, the thick blocks of tofu that you find in the grocery store are usually packed in water, and you take those out of the package and squeeze them dry to kind of get all as much of the liquid out as possible. And then you can just slice it up into slices or cubes or whatever, lay it out on a cookie sheet and bake it in the oven until it starts to kind of dry out and crisp up on the outside. And then you can throw it in a stir fry or whatever you want to do. So definitely kind of air frying or oven baked or whatever you want to call that, we recommend, but not deep frying.
We prefer not to deep fry anything.
We don't deep fry anything, so just want to make that
tofu
clear.
Tofu is one of the things we don't deep fry.
The other question we got was, what are some recommended places to eat whole food plant-based meals when eating out around the Edmond OKC area? You know, we get asked about a lot of places, well, where can you eat? And what I like to really just try to stress and focus on is that, you know, there aren't just whole food plant-based restaurants out there, you know. So what you have to just look for is what's on a menu and what can you make work. And pretty much we've been able, there's been very, very few restaurants we've not been able to make something work on the menu for us. And honestly, for example, a steakhouse is probably the easiest place for us to eat because they typically always have baked potatoes or sweet potatoes on the menu that we get without any butter or sour cream. And they have sauteed spinach or sauteed mushrooms or grilled asparagus or steam mixed vegetables. Sometimes you can find a rice pilaf. A lot of them are offering different, you know, maybe have one menu item that's some kind of a quinoa dish or roasted vegetable dish. Certainly Asian restaurants, you can get vermicelli bowl or stir-fried vegetables with rice. What are some other? Of course, there's Cool Greens and Salada is a new restaurant, and that's kind of more of like a salad bar type situation where you can pick everything you want on a big salad.
I think where we really get the question is people are asking, okay, can you eat whole food plant-based with no added oil? That's very difficult to do at a restaurant. We're real strict about no added oil at home. But when we eat out, invariably there's going to be some oil added to it. It's just like a chef can't cook without oil, so they think. Occasionally, we come across places where they'll basically steam stuff, but generally, we're going to get some added oil when we eat out, and we just realize that.
Well, one, we don't eat out a lot. I mean, we probably eat out twice a week on average, if even that, and we're very strict about no added oil at home, so I feel like eating out that little, you know, one meal a couple times a week isn't a huge, huge deal for us. So I think we do enough other things at home, getting in the whole plant foods that we recommend, that having that a couple times a week isn't going to be super detrimental. You know, for example, we don't do this very often, but, you know, we do like to occasionally go out to breakfast, and This week we found a little Mexican diner by our house and went out and had a breakfast, and I ordered their egg white omelet without egg.
And cheese.
And they were pretty, the girl was really nice about it. Sometimes we get some really crazy looks when we do that, but she didn't blink an eye. She said, okay, no problem. And so we got a plate of sauteed broccoli and zucchini and mushrooms and onions and bell pepper and tomatoes, with topped with some jalapeno and avocados, some home fried potatoes, and corn tortillas, and a side of black beans. And it was very, very tasty and very good. And it actually wasn't just swimming in oil. I thought they did a great job of preparing it. It wasn't, our plates weren't just loaded with grease when we got done eating, and tasted very fresh and very good. And so you can, there are places you can make something like that work for breakfast, and we were excited to find that.
You know, sometimes I think people think that it has to be overly complicated.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you're going to go out to eat and you got to find tofu with, you know, some superfood. No. I'm like, you know, you can go to an Italian restaurant and have whole wheat pasta with some red sauce and ask them to put some vegetables on top.
Yeah, I've done that many times, I mean, we actually get some really, really good food that way.
Most Italian restaurants have pasta primavera, which is nothing but vegetables.
Right. It's just not that difficult at all.
No, no. And, you know, of course, there's always a salad section on the menu, and I'll just say, hold the cheese. And we've gotten some great beet salads and, you know, with really, you know, just some really good salads. And just because they sprinkle some goat cheese, they can easily leave that off. And so it's, again, yes, you are going to get some oil in a salad dressing or, you know, whatever. But it's just not a huge part of our
right. And it's much better than eating, you know,
it's better than eating a big sirloin steak. So I'm okay with that.
So believe it or not, I know people are going to think, oh my gosh, I can't believe you went there. But, you know, you're with people and friends and whatever. But we went to Chilino's. Okay. Yep. And they actually have these avocado and spinach enchiladas where you can just have them leave the cheese out. And basically, it's just avocado and
spinach in a corn tortilla
rolled up. And then I say, okay, let me have that with some rice and some beans, and then just put salsa on top.
Well, a lot of times their tomatillo sauce or their ranchero sauce is just a red sauce cooked down with a lot of spices. Yeah. And so neither one of them have any cheese in it. So you can get either one of those. It is very easy. It's just don't be scared or intimidated to ask to have a few accommodations. We found people to be very open to helping us do that, and this little diner was very friendly to us and had a great breakfast the other morning. The next question we got was from a lady that says, I've been eating more nuts over the past 6 months or so. My triglycerides have increased over the last year. Could the nuts be the culprit? I went from 105 to 156. I eat whole food, plant-based, trying to get my numbers in the ideal category. Well, I think there's more to that than just the nuts.
I mean, I do too. So to really answer that, we'd have to know really what she's been eating.
Because there's other things that can cause that, like sugars.
Too much fruit. For those of us who have a genetic predisposition to have high triglycerides, you know, you can't eat too much fruit. Even though what we advocate is whole food fruit, it kind of depends on the type of fruit and how ripe it is as to how much sugar is in it.
When you certainly wouldn't want to be consuming fruit juices.
No fruit juices.
It needs to be fruit in the whole food form. And if you are someone with that issue, you might want to stick with the berries, like strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, which are the least sweet of the fruit.
If you want to really own sweet fruit, try real cranberries.
Cranberries, yes. That's a little too unsweet for me. But, you know, cranberries, pomegranates, things like that that are not super sweet, and probably want to stay away from things like super ripe bananas, super ripe, you know, or pineapple,
the really ripe mango and that are a lot sweeter.
Yeah, and maybe try that for a while. And as far as nuts, I think unless you're just eating packages of nuts, if you're sticking with what a true serving of nuts is and getting, you know, a serving of nuts should be something that fits in the palm of your hand.
The small part of the palm of your hand, not your whole hand.
So if you're getting that maybe twice a day or something, that really shouldn't be affecting.
Again,
that.
The nut is in a whole food form, so it's packaged with fiber, so you don't absorb all those fats. And probably sugar has more to do with triglyceride levels than something like a whole food fat.
Well, and I certainly don't know, and I'm guessing this person is just talking about, you know, regular raw nuts, but, you know, we have a tendency maybe to go to the Thunder game or something and buy those nuts that are, you know, all sugared up. And
The sweet and salty nuts something different like that, yeah.
I was on a plane not too long ago, and they gave me these peanuts, and I looked down, and that's what they were.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm like,
Second ingredient, sugar.
Yeah, I'd rather have a Snickers.
Well, and
most of the roasted nuts have added oil. That's going to affect your triglycerides too.
I mean, we typically stick with, you know, the raw walnuts and pumpkin seeds and stuff like that. So I think we have our caller on the line.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
James?
Yes.
Well, James, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Sorry it has to be on air like this in front of everyone.
Well, we only have about 5 listeners. So.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, everyone. This is James, and he reached out to us about some issues he was having and how he changed them, and I really wanted him to share his story with everyone today. And so thank you for calling in.
Great. It's good to be here. Is there a limitation on how long I can talk?
No, we have until noon, so
that's
how's
right.
That?
Well, after that, we have to start paying.
Yeah, I certainly won't speak that long, but do you just want me to go ahead and give you the...
Yeah, I'd like to I just would like to know how you came to your diagnosis, and then how you came to end up changing your diet, how that's gone, maybe give some information about where your numbers were and where they are now. Mm-hmm. And do you mind sharing how old you are?
I don't mind at all. In fact, I just turned 57.
Oh, okay. You're young. Okay, well, go ahead and tell us your story.
Well, my story is I found out in the springtime of 2017 that I have prostate cancer. And it may strike people as sounding rather odd, but I view it as the best thing that ever happened to me. And what happened was in February, I had a routine blood test that revealed that my prostate-specific antigen, which is the primary marker of prostate cancer, was reading 5.3, which is over the 4.0 threshold of concern by doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And so my doctor said, hey, I believe it would be a good idea to have a biopsy given possible family history and your age. Just go ahead and have this looked at. And so they sent that in, and part of my story is the fact that I found out the results April 4 of 2017, which was just shy of 3 weeks prior to my first wedding anniversary.
Wow.
I was devastated when I first heard about it. I mean, you hear the word cancer.
Sure.
My mother died of a different type of cancer when I was at a very young age. And so I was suddenly thinking, my gosh, I have no idea how long I'm going to be around. But ultimately, the motivation for me to take the path that I'm now on was the love of my wife and wanting to be around and have the best quality of life possible. And so backstory, we had a second opinion, and they upped my cancer from low risk, Gleason 6, for those who are familiar, to Gleason 7, which they consider intermediate. And doctors at this treatment facility said, we can offer you surgery or radiation. Neither of those sounded like something I cared to go through mm-hmm. with cancer that was still being defined. So what we first did was we had an MRI done the end of May. We encountered another doctor in a different who offers a different sort of treatment, something a lot less invasive. And he did an MRI, and he says, okay, here's where you're at. I was 5.6 PSA by that point. A gradually rising PSA denotes cancer that's growing. In early July, I found out that through a third opinion that the pathologist out on the East Coast said, this is, has characteristics of low-risk prostate cancer. But again, my PSA was now up to 5.9. And this takes me into the time that I began a plant-based diet. I had been following a website and following different people on Facebook, and I heard reference to Dr. Michael Greger's book, How Not to Die. Mm. And I talked to people who said that they eat plant-based. And I read in Dr. Greger's book about a guy, an unnamed individual, who did a plant-based diet, and his cancer disappeared. But he thought, after a while, I can go back to eating the way I was because my cancer's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And probably in reality it wasn't gone, it was just so small you couldn't see it. And so it came back and it killed him. But I thought, hey, if that's something that could be done with a low-risk cancer, I've got 7 months until my next MRI, which was scheduled on an annual basis, to determine whether or not a diet might work for me. So, I started August 29th. I roughly patterned my diet after Dr. Greger's Daily Dozen.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 months' time, my PSA dropped to 4.62, which, again, prostate cancer that's growing, the PSA gradually goes up. If you see a spike, probably that's another issue, a big jump, but then again, maybe not. But mine fell in 2 months' time. In January, the PSA again showed a drop down to 4.35, which was the lowest reading that it, my cancer had been in 3 years. And in March 2018, I had my annual 3T MRI. I'm sorry, I'm speaking 3T. I don't even know what the heck that is.
That's the power of the magnet. So
yes.
3T is
a very good MRI done by a doctor who knows that machine inside out and calibrates it right down to see exactly what he wants to see. What he saw and what he showed us was a blank screen. And he said, quote, negative for clinically significant prostate cancer.
And that was in like 8 months' time?
That was in 7 months' time, from August until the end of March.
That's pretty impressive.
Yes. Mm. And my wife, who was sitting there beside me, thankfully, jumped in my lap and was kissing me all over. She was very excited. The doctor was smiling. He said, it's not very often I get to share happy news, and so he was very encouraging as well. I had to say that my reaction was I was guardedly optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this is the way to go, and I believe that if I keep eating this way, that I'll see further progression that is good in my favor. However, should I need to follow the path of treatment, I have this doctor who I will continue to see, who, like I said, has this less invasive approach that seems to offer a better quality of life.
So what was that your last? I thought you had another PSA after that.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, in May, I went in, had a blood test, and the results came back that my PSA was 3.5.
Wow.
Which is under the 4 threshold. It says, okay, there's still cancer there, but it's not an immediate concern.
Correct. It's not growing.
Right. It's not growing. And what that tells me when I see that is I have prostate cancer. And I tell people, you know, hey, I've got cancer. And they say, well, tell me about that because you don't look like you're in pain or anything.
Yeah, my prostate's killing me right now.
Yes. And so if I can give you just a little summary of what I eat.
Yes, please.
I start my day with a high antioxidant shake, and I put a whole bunch of different stuff in it. But it's got blueberries, walnuts, and blueberries with cardamom, because there's a specific reason for that. There's broccoli, or sometimes broccoli. Drawing a blank. Spinach. And then just one other thing that I can never remember, ground flaxseed.
Yes.
Which is real important for your diagnosis.
Uh-huh. Right. And a whole host of other things as well. Unfortunately, I don't have my recipe right in front of me, but my wife very pleasantly says, ew, this tastes like wallpaper paste. And it's one thing that I would encourage people, if you decide to follow this path, you could look at it with the motivation I take into it, that I ate for taste and flavor for 56 years, and I ended up getting prostate cancer. Other people end up having diabetes, heart disease, other issues like that. I now eat for nutrition. Sure, I like something that tastes good.
Well, sure.
But at the same point, if I'm feeding my body what I know it needs to operate at its best and fight this cancer, that's what I'm going to eat.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you brought up an interesting point because, you know, it's believed that we all have cancer cells in our body all the time. And so what you put in your mouth either feeds the cancer or fights the cancer. And mm-hmm. Some of us choose to fight it, not feed it. My morning smoothie is, I mean, it doesn't, I've won also the 8 for taste. And I am a, self-proclaimed foodie. But my morning breakfast smoothie does not taste good.
Yeah.
I don't do it for the taste. I do it for the nutrients.
And I think, you know, it has a lot of what I think you and I talked, James, about having, you know, we add maca and turmeric and ginger and, you know, he puts clove and cranberry. And it's because he's read so much about each one of these specific ingredients and the profile, the nutrient profile it has, you know, and he just tries to get it all in at one time and blends it all up and gets it down. Now, the rest of our food we eat because not only is it nutritionally sound, it's also very tasty food.
Well, you can make some really tasty food. Expand a little bit about the cardamom.
Yes, I read in Dr. Greger's book, or maybe even I saw it on a video, that they said that blueberry contains a chemical in it that fights cancer, and that cardamom contains a chemical that makes that blueberry enzyme or whatever work harder.
Okay.
Sounds very similar to what black pepper does to turmeric.
Right.
So you want to eat those in combination with each other.
Yes.
So we.
So I'll have to start adding some cardamom.
You know, one of the things.
Smoothie.
Well, one of the things I recommend people eat for breakfast is a big bowl of, like, raw oats or cooked if you like them that way. But oats with blueberries, a few walnuts, and I love cardamom and cinnamon in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the flavor of cardamom, so that's a very good option to do as well.
And I put cardamom in my homemade Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah.
I like the flavor of that in that.
But, you know, and I don't know if you found this, but after we changed the way we ate, you know, our taste buds actually changed to, you know, some of the things that we eat now. While some people might say, oh, that sounds terrible to us at this point in time, I think the taste is wonderful. Like, I actually love the taste of turmeric and some of those things. Like, I kind of crave them now, and kale and spinach and broccoli and all those things where, you know, that certainly wasn't my food of choice previously.
I can agree with that, there's things like, I eat a lot of my fruits, obviously fruits, but I eat a lot of my vegetables raw, just out of the fact that I bring my lunch to work, and it just works best that way. But foods like broccoli and that, which I can remember before eating and thinking, this is kind of bland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I enjoy the taste.
Sure.
Other things that I eat, I'm sure that you do, white button mushrooms.
Yes.
You mentioned the oatmeal. I do a lunch of black beans, spices, cooked onions, garlic, and tofu, and I throw my oatmeal in there.
Okay.
So,
that's good.
Yeah, I get around to it.
You're hiding the taste. That's okay, as long as you get the nutrients.
Uh-huh.
But see, what's great about this, James, in my opinion, is you're not only fighting your cancer, you're fighting heart disease and everything else that comes along with eating the standard American diet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll continue to get healthier and stronger the longer you go, even though you are continuing to age, as we all are, but you're going to feel better than you've ever felt in your life.
Right, right. I'm, like I said, I'm 57. I have a BMI under 23, body mass index. I just checked it today. So that means I'm relatively slim.
You're certainly out of the norm of most Americans.
6'3", somewhere roughly right around 180 to 182, something like that.
I'm sure your friends all say, oh, you're so skinny.
Well,
you're too skinny.
You know, that's part of my thing I'd like to tell listeners, is I lived most of my life thinking I'm tall and relatively slim. I can eat pretty much whatever I want, and I seem to stay slim.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I'm slim, I'm healthy.
Right.
Correct.
And then I found out otherwise. And the strange thing about this is I heard about this way of eating 40 years ago, and at the time, I thought, what a bunch of malarkey.
Yes. Yeah.
40 years ago, I was looking at which Egg McMuffin to get.
Right, right.
For you to say you heard of this 40 years ago, I'm like, that was Latin. I would have never heard that.
Are you talking about the Pritikin diet?
No, I'm talking about my dad's second wife, who she was following a diet a lot like this. And I don't know where she got it from, but she was very into natural foods. And
Nathan Pritikin.
And you thought she was crazy, didn't you?
Carob chocolate chip cookies that were like, oh, my God, why would anyone eat these things?
Yes. You know, it's funny, though, the statement you've made when you first started that this is, you know, finding out you had cancer was one of the best things that ever happened to you. And, You know, I say that all the time about my husband finding out at 53 that he needed triple bypass surgery. I mean, it was the best thing that ever happened to us because it opened our eyes. We changed our life, and I feel like we are healthier and stronger now than we ever have been. And I fully believe he would have had a major significant heart attack had we not changed that, and he may not be here today because of that.
Some of us need what I call a transformative moment. And mine was when they came in and said, well, you need to have triple bypass. It opened my mind to considering alternatives that's not part of the standard medical treatment. And really, it's kind of transformed how I practice medicine. Because most of what I see in my office, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, the vast majority of that would be classified as lifestyle disease, so it has really transformed the way I think of the human body, and we're just, unfortunately, most doctors are not taught this, which I think is tragic.
Right.
Did your doctors that have been checking your PSA and seeing it go down, have any of them asked what you're doing?
I told my primary care manager that, and of course the doctor who he performs focal laser ablation, which is basically laser surgery on the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned it to him. He's a progressive doctor, and he's like, shoot, it's working. Go ahead and keep doing it. The ones that were the advocates of surgery and radiation, I've never talked to them again after that initial consult.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably for your benefit.
Uh-huh. Yes, I think so. And one other factor of this is when I got married to my wife, at one point I said to her about committing to this relationship and all that, I said, imagine this, we're playing cards, and I just pushed everything I owned into the middle of the table. I'm all in on this thing, and that's how it's always going to be. I'm either going to walk away with everything or nothing, but I'm not going to hold anything back. And in a sense, I've applied that to this diet as well. When I first started on this, we had a freezer full of wild-caught Alaskan salmon, which most people would go crazy for.
Sure.
I mean, I did before we had cancer, or before I got cancer. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, this is a great thing. But I said to my wife, I'm sorry, but if I'm going to do this, I have to do this all in. I can't hold a card back. And come to find out that my PSA kept growing, but it slowed down. It wouldn't tell me anything.
Right.
I said, I need to go completely plant-based and not cheat on this thing and see where it goes. And if it doesn't go where we want it to, we have this ace, you know, I got this ace in the back of my pocket here for treatment options, for this treatment option. I can go with that and feel perfectly at peace about that. But I got to try this.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think that's a hard, and that I totally agree and commend you for doing that, because we did the same thing. I mean, we were like, okay, it's triple bypass or we're all in, one of the two. And so, you know, we did the same thing. We threw everything out. We were all in, went from, you know, one day eating everything to whole food, plant-based. But even sometimes with people, you know, facing diabetes, we see it all the time. They struggle so much to give up this and that. And you know, it's just, you aren't going to see the results that you've seen, that we've seen, by just kind of half-heartedly.
No pun intended.
No. You know, just stepping your toe in and just trying this and that. I mean, if you're facing a disease, what do you have to lose but then to go all in for 90 days, you know? Just try it and see. I mean, there are no bad side effects from this. I mean, the side effects I know of are healing, weight loss, energy, you know, all those things. So if you tell me you do this for, you know, 90 to 120 days and you saw nothing, well, then I would probably say you weren't doing something right. But okay, you gave it a try, but that's just not going to happen, you know?
And I found out in 2 months that it was working.
Right.
And that was just because that was my next scheduled blood test. I may have found out in 30 days
sure. That
it made a difference. So,
well, I do commend you, and I hope you tell your story to many people.
Well, I hope I get that opportunity, because it has been... it's been a very good thing, and definitely it's something I want to share.
Now, have you been to our seminar or to our health forum?
I have not. I've looked on your website. I may try to get down for a Saturday. The Monday gigs, I work out of town, so I'm not up in Oklahoma City.
Okay. Well, if you ever come to a Saturday seminar, we'll definitely want you to share your story with our, you know, participants, because I think, you know, obviously my husband tells his story and then, you know, goes over the science behind why what happened to you happened, you know, what goes on in the body and has that, why it works. But certainly hearing testimonials from other people are important. You know, we've had lots of people share, you know, weight loss and getting off diabetes medication and having blood sugars decrease and all those, you know, good things.
Mm-hmm.
But something like your story is definitely one we want to share with others.
Right. So, and this whole thing about, gosh, how am I ever going to give up smoked sausage or Twinkies or whatever it is. The thing that I found amazing, and probably you did too, is a short time on a plant-based diet, I can go to the bakery and look at sweets, or I can go look at ice cream and enjoy looking at it, but I have no desire to put it in my mouth.
Oh,
there's
I totally
no
agree. I
there's
totally
no craving
agree.
At all.
So, you obviously don't, I haven't shared this with you, but I had a sausage egg McMuffin every day for almost 15 years before changing the way that I eat.
Wow.
And so there was no deviating from that.
Uh-huh.
If McDonald's was open, I was eating that. And so, like the Conways, like yourself, I flipped the switch overnight and started eating oatmeal, and now I eat the same oatmeal concoction every day. But, you know, when you talked about throwing out the salmon and flipping the switch and all that, one of the things that, you know, we say often is, you know, a plant-based lifestyle or a plant-based diet, sort of like a marriage. You know, you can't cheat on it and expect it to work. So you're either all in or you're not, you know.
That's and, very good.
And you,
I think you guys have the same analogy you like to share.
Yeah. So
you're all in kind of
right.
guys.
Yeah. That's
and
exactly
as
right.
were we. You know, yeah. I totally get what you're saying with that, and we certainly try to, you know, like I don't know if you were listening, but we have a girl that came to a seminar of ours in August of 2017, heard our message, wasn't really ready to do things, was on 20 different medications dealing with lupus and Hashimoto's, tried, you know, the paleo and keto and all these other things. And finally in January, she just said, look, this isn't working. I'm tired of taking all these medications. I'm done. And here we are in June. She's been plant-based for 6 months. She's lost 45 pounds, and all of her medical lab markers are negative for lupus and Hashimoto's.
Wow.
So she's a pretty amazing, like, she's definitely one of our poster child. She can't, you know, wait to tell her story to anyone that wants to listen to it. And she has more energy than she's had. I mean, she's young. She's in her 30s. I mean, she's got little kids. And she was basically debilitated because of her illnesses. I mean, she had to quit working. I mean, it was a pretty bad story to start with, but it has ended, you know. She is in a great place right now with loads of energy and couldn't be happier, and definitely wanting to share her story. So it's fun for us. I mean, this is why we do what we do, is sharing our knowledge for free with everyone because of how exciting it is to hear people's story like you.
And I'm so glad that you're out there, because that was something that immediately occurred to me as I started seeing results, that it would be wonderful to have some sort of avenue to share this.
Sure.
Well, our mic is always open for you.
Wow.
We will definitely be keeping in contact with you, James, and
great,
and trying to get you to come tell your story many other times. So stay tuned, and good luck to you.
I look forward to the opportunity to stand in front of a bunch of people and make myself vulnerable to say, hey, it's worth it, because this was life-changing.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, James, for your testimony.
We sure enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, Andrea, how did we find James?
He just emailed me. He emailed me and said, I have a story to tell. I want to tell it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't start on this by finding us and attending a seminar and us telling him anything. I mean, he researched it and got to it himself. And then, you know, in, I guess, more of his research, found our page and emailed me and said, you know, I have a story to tell.
We need more stories.
That's exactly right.
You know, I tell my story, but my story's old to me.
<I know. laughs> Your story's 9 years old now. Can you believe it? You know, it's funny, in just talking to him and, you know, having, he's so new to this. And I remember we started in October of 2009 and thinking, you know, we would count it. Oh, it's been 30 days. It's been 60 days. It's, you know, it's been 6 months. And before we knew it, it was a year. And now here we are. And in October, it'll be 9 years.
I remember our first trip we took when we started this. And, you know, that May or June, I purchased tickets to a World Series game. I had no idea who was going to be in the World Series. Being a lifelong Yankees fan, I was hopeful that the Yankees would make it. And lo and behold, that's the year the Yankees played the Phillies in the World Series. So we went to that first World Series game. And I guess I hadn't been really looking in the mirror, because I hadn't recognized.
Well, you had. Obviously, you shave every day. But
yeah, but
it's just not the
I
same
just remember
as seeing
a picture
of yourself.
Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I've lost a lot of weight in my face. I hadn't weighed. I didn't do
because
this to lose weight.
We started this roughly the very first week of October, and we would have gone to that the first week of November.
Correct, yeah.
So it was
right at 30 days.
30 days. And you lost 35 pounds in, what, 3 months?
Yeah, thereabouts,
so
I guess. I don't know.
You'd probably lost even 10 pounds by that point, or 15.
I'd say probably closer to 20. But again, I didn't do this to lose weight. It was a side effect of eating properly.
You know, and some people lose, of course, men lose weight a lot faster than women. I didn't lose any weight when we started, and I was very angry about that. And it took a while for us to really hone our diet and do things where, you know, because I think I did eat better than he did. I mean, I think that's pretty typical of women. We would go to a diner, and he'd have chicken, fried chicken with eggs, and I'd have oatmeal because I, you know, couldn't imagine putting that many calories in my body. It had nothing to do with health.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, I didn't lose weight as quickly as he did, but, you know, everybody thought he was super sick because he lost weight so quick, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? He's, you know,
he's too thin. I still hear that.
Yeah. And he's a perfect weight right now. And his weight leveled out. He didn't do anything to change. He just ate the same. And pretty soon his body said, okay, this is where we need to be. And it leveled out, and it was fine.
Basically what I weighed in high school.
Well, and that must be what your ideal weight is.
It's homeostasis.
It is.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
So just real quick, you want to just make a statement as to, and I don't know if you can in the 5 minutes we have, make a statement as to why this works so quickly on like something like what he was dealing with? And
well, it's so multifactorial. It's really difficult to say that in a short period of time. But what we do, and he alluded to the fact that he basically had poisoned his body for 50-something years, in my case, for 53 years. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing to me how quickly the body can recover once you quit feeding it the food that causes the disease. See, our bodies were designed to not get sick. We were designed to not become crippled by the age of 60, like a lot of us are, but to remain healthy until, you know, well into our 90s and 100s, as evidenced by the blue zone areas of the world. But it's still amazing to me how quickly things can change.
That's what I, you know, like you've said, and Randy's, we all said, I mean, we ate this way for so long, and that sickness has built up in our arteries and our body all those years, but within weeks of taking that poison away, your body has this amazing ability to start healing itself.
I mean, you know, Dr. Ornish, this paper was published in 2008. He since had additional studies done that documents basically how quickly genetic changes occur with diet intervention. So when he took a group of men that had early prostate cancer and put them on a whole food plant-based diet, and with a short amount of time documented genetic change in these men, so that one, their PSAs all fell, and a good portion of these people did not even have to have repeat prostate biopsies because their PSAs had fallen so much, primarily based on radically changing their diet. And Dr. Ornish has published not just on prostate cancer, but he also was the first guy to actually publish reversal of heart disease. This was like 1990 with diet intervention, a concept that is still foreign to a lot of doctors, medical doctors, is that you can actually reverse heart disease, you can reverse cancer, you can reverse diabetes, and all these diseases of lifestyle and what we classify as chronic diseases, like blood pressure. You know, as far back as I can remember, my blood pressure was elevated. Back in the ninth grade, it was 140 over 90 doing school physicals. You know, that was always said, oh, that's kind of borderline hypertensive. No, that's actually hypertensive.
Right.
And you know, it took my blood pressure probably a couple of years to come down. But I quit feeding my body the food that was poisoning my arteries.
But you were on three different blood pressure medicines, and I don't think you had to be on all three for that long.
No, I came off
You came off
fairly quickly, but before I came off of everything, it was a couple of years.
Yeah.
Same thing, I took a statin for a while too. My cholesterol, you know, within the first 6 months of starting this diet, it went from 494 to 115. With my LDL dropping to 15, which was as low as that test could measure at the time. What's significant about that is it seems to be the LDL level that reverses heart disease. So you actually want that as low as you can get it, because it's the LDL that gets oxidized, and either you eat oxidized LDL from animal flesh, or the animal flesh you're eating causes your LDL to rise due to saturated fat. And then that is the causative agent that starts the process of plaque building up in the artery. And if you get that LDL low enough, then you start reversing that plaque. And there's a law in physics that the amount of fluid that can go through a tube is proportional to the diameter of that tube to the fourth power. So it doesn't take much in terms of opening up the tube to significantly increase the blood flow through that
tube. Well, and that's why we've heard so many stories of people with angina, which is chest pain due to restrictive blood flow, even within weeks of changing their diet, the chest pain goes away.
Esselstyn says 2 weeks.
That's the little amount of increased blood flow gets rid of that chest pain.
Correct.
So it's all good and fun and exciting, and that's why we love sharing our stuff every time we can, and we love being here with you all sharing this information. So if you're interested in attending a seminar, just check out our website, plantbasedokc.com. The next one is July 21st at noon, and these last about 3 hours, unless my husband's really, really talkative that day.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It could take 3.5. Yeah. You just have to be prepared.
That's right.
But it's usually about 3 hours. I serve a plant-based lunch. It's free of charge. We'd love to have you. You can email for a reservation on our website.
What is that website?
Plantbasedokc.com. You can, on there as well, see our other wellness events like Rococo support group meeting on Monday, the first Monday of every month. But we will not be there in July because we will be at the beach. So we will be back in August to have our next support group meeting. And then VegFest OKC is coming up in September. I don't have the exact dates for that, but they're on, if you
8th,
get
September
8th. It's an all-day event at the Myriad Gardens. It's going to be really fun. My husband's going to be a speaker there. We're going to have a booth set up. So lots of fun activities and information to be had by everyone. So check them out. You can find them on Facebook at VegFest OKC. So I highly encourage you to check them out. And we will be back next month.
That we will.
So, Kathy, if you're listening, live life on purpose with purpose.
Amen.